Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and let me welcome you to the Word of Grace for Sunday the 25th of September 2022. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Sherbrooke, and we're delighted to welcome you to this broadcast. Wherever you join us from, the townships or further afield, whenever you join us, whether it's live or by recordings, and however you join us, whether it's radio or online. Words from Psalm 91 to begin with. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday.
Morning is the love, awaken and the bride.
Let us pray. You are glorious, creator of heaven and earth. Your handiwork is all around us. Help us to see it. You are glorious, Savior of the lost. You are our light and salvation. Help us to abide in you. You are glorious, Spirit of truth, for you transform the lives of your people. Give us your grace to overcome our frailties and failings. As we set aside this time for reflection, we ask that you'd keep us from those things that harm us and others, that you would guide us in the ways of righteousness, compassion, and love. May our living bring you praise, our actions lift up your holy name, and our every deed provide hope to those we meet, hour by hour and day by day. Compassionate God, you open your heart to those in need and to your aching creation. We confess we often turn away so that we do not have to see pain, suffering, or injustice right before our eyes. We don't like to feel uncomfortable or pressed into service. Forgive us, and give us courage to love others as you love us, and reach out with the care we have witnessed in Jesus. The prophet Micah declared that God requires of us three things: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. To all who are truly penitent, who act for justice and seek to serve God and neighbor in kindness, God offers forgiveness and peace through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his cross. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 16, reading at verse 19. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your time you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Amen.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must try. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. Sheltered in the arms of God.
The very public funeral of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth has brought us up front and centre with our own mortality. I have often said to grieving families in their loss that we think that mothers go on forever. But we've always known that Her Majesty's time would come, albeit she lived to an old age. None of us do live forever, and funerals serve to straighten out our disordered thoughts and feelings and enable us to say farewell. Here is what one sociologist wrote about funerals. The funeral ritual is a public, traditional, and symbolic means of expressing our beliefs, thoughts, and feelings about the death of someone we loved. Rich in history and rife with symbolism, the funeral ceremony helps us acknowledge the reality of the death, gives testimony to the life of the deceased, encourages the expression of grief in a way consistent with the culture's values, provides support to mourners, allows for the embracing of faith and beliefs about life and death, and offers continuity and hope for the living. Even if we're not religious, those around us need ceremonies to process their feelings. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told a very strange story about a rich man whom he didn't name and a poor man named Lazarus. The rich man had lived in luxury while Lazarus, a beggar who lay at the rich man's gate, was covered with sores and had very little to eat. In due time, both men had died, and angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, but the rich man ended up being tormented in the fires of hell. The rich man looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus at his side, and so he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." Now, this story has nothing to do with the reasons we have funerals, nor is this story intended to portray what life beyond the grave is like. It is a cartoon, if you like, a caricature of life beyond grave. It's like one of those jokes we sometimes tell about how three men walk up to the pearly gates of heaven and St. Peter is there to greet them. He tells the three men that heaven is a bit crowded at the moment. He can only let one of them go through right now. And the joke might continue in some form or other. Now, all Christians believe that there is life after death. That, after all, is one of the central teachings of the New Testament. Jesus died so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Yes, there is a place of judgment beyond the grave, and we know this from Jesus' own words. And the summons of the gospel can sometimes be expressed as, "Repent and believe the good news. Flee the wrath to come." This story of Jesus is not intended to terrify you into belief and faith. For example, it's rather absurd to believe that heaven and hell are so close together that it's impossible for the people in each one to call out to each other and be heard by those on the other side. Lazarus has a physical finger that he can dip in physical water and go down to hell and put on the tip of the rich man's physical tongue. So why did Jesus tell this story? When Abraham refused to send Lazarus to cool the rich man's tongue with water, the rich man asked that someone might return from the dead to warn his brothers about the ultimate destiny that they would face if they didn't mend their ways. To which Abraham replied, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." I don't think it's mere coincidence that one of the main characters in Jesus' story is named Lazarus. Only a few months after Jesus told this story, he in fact raised a man named Lazarus from the dead, a man who lived in different circumstances from the one in the story. And following the resurrection of Jesus' friend Lazarus, some of those who observed the miracle reported to the Pharisees what had happened. Then the chief priests and Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin, and from that day on they plotted to take Jesus' life. We read about that in John chapter 11. And the spiritual lesson in Jesus' story applies as much in our day as it did in his. You and I are in as great a danger of assuming that we're on God's side, only to discover too late that we aren't, as were the Pharisees and Sadducees in Jesus' day. The rich man thought himself secure in this world through his riches. He had no concern for anyone else in this world and thought there was no tomorrow. There was only one long today. But he found that riches do not make for long-term security, and that's a common theme in Luke's gospel. If only he had been awoken to eternal realities. If only he had seen someone rise from the dead. But the words of Jesus is that it wouldn't matter. What matters is, have you heard the word of faith? The place where we meet with God is in the witness to God that God has given. There's nowhere else to go than the place where God has given. Are you waiting for God to do something amazing and spectacular that you might believe on him, even raising someone from the dead? The Bible is the regular means by which God awakens people to faith. Jesus, risen from the dead, comes to us in the pages of the scriptures and the church and summons us to faith. That's where God gives himself known. And to sit and wait for some other spectacular evidence of the existence and the saving power and the love of God is to wish for something that God has not given. God has given the Bible to be the foundation of our faith, as it was for those who followed Jesus in his time. If the passing of Her Majesty the Queen, or the passing of someone near and dear to you, has woken in you the desire to explore what life beyond the grave might be like, then read the Bible. Start with the Gospel. Follow his story. Ask God to show you himself in the Word. Be among the people of God, the Church, where God speaks through his Word preached and administered in sacrament. Set aside time each day to study God's Word and to talk to him in prayer, so that when you enter the next life, you'll join Lazarus in heaven rather than the rich man in hell.
How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love and to forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Let us pray. Our cherishing and reassuring God, we come to you and thank you for your goodness to us as individuals and to the communities of faith of which we may be part. Each of us at various times may have gratefully found shelter under your loving wings and found a secure refuge in your invisible presence when we've been battered by life storms. You sent your Son Jesus Christ to show us your power to save, and after testifying to the truth before Pontius Pilate, he was killed, but you raised him from the dead, and now he seats us at your banquet table and richly provides us with everything for fullness of life. Compassionate and caring God, you've not only given us Moses and the prophets, you've brought back Jesus from the dead. Help us to hear their call to pursue righteousness, faith, love, godliness, patience, and gentleness. Help us to flee from the kind of living that values possessions more than people, and so to live this life in generosity that we shall not be ashamed of in the end. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling to make ends meet in this life, for friends and neighbours, even ourselves, in times of hardship, and for the Church in its desire to stand by the impoverished and the oppressed, and for those we lift up before you now. Grant us and your whole Church the courage to speak out against all evil, and to make no peace with oppression or violence or the manipulation of truth, in order that we may be comfortable in our self-deceit. Stir in us the will for justice, between ourselves and our children, and within our community, nation, and the world. Teach us your ways, and lead us in your paths of righteousness. At the end of this week, we will have Orange Shirt Day, on which we can remember the Indigenous communities and seek for truth and reconciliation. Vibrant God, your creation explodes with the colours of the rainbow. Your peoples reveal the beauty of diversity. We remember on Orange Shirt Day when the joy and dignity of a precious child was destroyed, and we lament today for the childhood's loss through the residential school system, and we mourn for the spirits crushed and the futures compromised. Help us celebrate the hope and joy of every child. Help us tell the stories of resistance that make us stronger, to build the bonds of solidarity to ensure never again. We ask this in the name of the one who was a child amongst us, and ask that you hear us now, as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. You will be welcome to join with us at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you can't make it in person, do join us through our Facebook page or YouTube channel, where our services are live streamed. Or find your way to your own community of faith in these days. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? And when it's all been said and all my treasures will mean nothing, only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. And I will always sing your here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heaven's my true home when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.